Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, choir. And good morning, everyone. My name is Ron Coleman, and I am a lay servant here at Calvary. Glad to be in the service of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Obviously, our pastor is not here with us this morning, and we want you all to pray for Pastor Esther and for Joe as well. They're both sick. I got a call last evening, and she said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get there. So I said, what does that mean? So the Holy Spirit immediately told me what that meant, and it meant that one of us, the lay servants, would be here taking charge of the sermon for our pastor this morning, and we're glad to be able to have that gift of standing in the gap in a time of need. So pray for our pastor, and let's all welcome each other again. How about that? Bad. God bless you.
Good morning, Calvary.
Good morning.
It's a little wet and chilly out there, so I'm assuming that's why there's some empty seats out here. But again, welcome to all of you this morning, and I'm so glad that you're here. My name is Rhonda Barlow, and I am your liturgist and servant for today. We do have a few announcements. First and foremost, we have our church council meeting this evening at 6. We would like all the chair, you know, people that are representing their different committees to be there, and or anyone here in the church, you are welcome to see the goings-on of the church, all the behind scenes that goes on. You definitely, if you have a vested interest in this church, you need to be there. 6 o'clock. There are other announcements during the week. If you please just pay attention, you know, to that on the back of your bulletin. Okay, so there are some announcements that aren't in there, and I will go over those now. You have year-end statements, bank statements, in the back next to where the ushers are standing. Please get those, if you will. Also, too, I noticed that there are still some envelopes back there for when you do your offering. If you haven't picked yours up, you know, please do so. There's a district leadership training on Saturday the 23rd at Beach United Methodist Church, 8:30 to 1. And there is carpooling here available at the church at 8 o'clock. The classes include finance, trustees, United Methodist men, staff parish, and missions. So if you're interested in that, please be here at 8 on that morning. Also, too, we were supposed to have had auditions this week for the public reading of Boundary Crossing by Joe O'Hearn, Pastor Esther's husband, but he's sick, so they had to postpone those. So they're going to be on the 19th, from what I understand, and that will be at 7 as well. Hopefully, he'll get past all this, because now Pastor Esther is sick, so we're hoping he'll get past all that and be able to do that on the 19th. We are still in need of items for the food bank, peanut butter, jelly, pasta, canned goods, cereal, rice. Yes, Larry? Also, too, and the other thing, too, that we have at the end of the month here is our 50th anniversary for the church, 29th, 30th, and the 31st. If you haven't gotten your invitation, please get those from the ushers in the back, and then you'll want to RSVP during the week with Sue so she knows how many people are going to be there for the luncheon on that Sunday. And then on that particular Sunday, on the 31st, there is only going to be just the one service. But we're going to have lots of people here, so that's why it's real important that we get a number on the people that are going to be there that day, account. Diane, do you have an announcement maybe about the chili or how well we did or not yet? Or I know it was a fun time. I had a good time.
We had first prize was Dee Dee. Second prize was Sarah Ferguson, and third prize, Andy. Yeah. It was great.
It wasn't a beauty contest.
Yeah. I think we brought in about $90.
So. But it was fun times, folks. It was fun times. And then I do believe that Jabari has an announcement this morning.
The man with two tunics sits there with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. On Sunday, February 7th, our Super Bowl Sunday, please bring 100 pennies, 20 nickels, 10 dimes. But to make it easier on everyone, just bring a dollar and a can of soup. So we can donate to our food pantry.
Amen.
Okay, and then as always, we have our prayer and praise cards that are in the pews. Please fill those out if you have a praise or a prayer. These are brought together on Monday night with prayer warriors, and there's a group that really gets in depth with these things, and so there's some heavy prayer on that day. Also, too, if you're a guest, we have these forms here in your pews as well, and you would drop those into the offering plate. And then salty service cards. I know I've said this many times, but I know that each one of us do something outside of this church for someone else every day. So you can put as many as 4 and 5, 6 and 7 of these things in the offering plate, and that just shows how much Calvary is reaching out. These are blessings to us, folks, so that's what we need to be doing, is answering that call deep in your heart and helping someone outside of this church. Are there any other announcements? Yes, ma'am. Sounds wonderful. Any other announcements, folks? All right, if we can get out our opening words. No matter how far we wander from you, O God, your steadfast love finds us. No matter how unjust the world seems to us, O God, Your steadfast righteousness sustains us. No matter how vulnerable our lives seem to us, O God, your steadfast presence gives us hope. No matter how unloved and uncared for we feel, O God, you hear our cries and answer our prayers. Thanks be to God.
Couple of things right quick. Joseph wanted me to express his gratitude to the folks from the church that have written him letters. Whoever you are, thank you very much.
Amen.
And the folks that have been around here long enough, do you remember when Jabari was like this tall?
Yes.
It's amazing. If you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to page 140, we'll sing Great Is Thy Faithfulness. You'll find our affirmation of faith on your insert. We believe in God, the creator of all things, the giver of life and breath. We believe in Jesus Christ, born Emmanuel, God with us, baptized and revealed, the most beloved Son of God. He sought to heal humanity by taking our brokenness upon himself, suffering for us, dying for us, and being raised from the dead for our sake and for the sake of all the world. We believe that he will come again. We believe in the Holy Spirit, continually poured out, refreshing our lives, leading us into a new day, ever birthing the church, the body of Christ in the world. This Spirit is our sole companion and counselor of truth, reminding us of the gift of faith, the ever presence of God, and the promise of eternal life. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Children's moment. I'm going to ask Betty to come up, and all the children, please come up and join Betty. Hey, Maddie. Betty, you want a chair? You okay?
If I sit on this step, we'll have to call the fire department. I'll just stand right here.
One behind you. Amen. Amen.
So this is a story about a man who, it was getting late in the evening, it was dark outside, and he needed gas for work the next day. So he decided to run down to the gas station. And as he got there, it was all pretty much dark. There was no people there. So he's pumping gas. And about that time, he sees a man walking by, coming up to the pump, and he's got on blue jeans and a black hoodie. My wife and my little baby are over there waiting, he said, but I don't have any money to get my stuff out of the room. We stayed here and our stuff is all in the room and I can't get my stuff back. It's all I own. And about that time he looked around and there was a lady standing with the little baby. Well, he didn't believe her until he saw that lady. And so the lady just was so happy, and she thanked him and said, "We can't take your money, we have to give you something." So the man took his watch off, and he said, "Would this be an even exchange for $10? And the man at the gas pump said, "That's more than enough." And he said, "Please take it, we don't want any of that. We just want to give our stuff back." So the man took the watch and thanked him, and they took the $10 and they left. And the man pumping gas said, "You know, to this day, when he thinks of Joseph, he sees Joseph in blue jeans and a black hoodie."
Amen.
He said how many times many people are in that same situation.
Mm-hmm.
And these children last Sunday related to that story so much because we talked about how the pressing that might have been when Jesus had to be born in the stable because there was no room.
Amen.
So we think that we're very thankful, and we thank you all for taking Jesus and Joseph and Mary in your heart all the time.
Amen. 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 Yes, there is. Hello, everybody. Here we are. You're welcome. Absolutely. And Miss Therese has children's church today. She's right there at the back. You're welcome. Bye. And thank you, Betty. I love working in tandem with Miss Betty. She always has an appropriate message for the children. Thank you, Betty. God bless you. It's now time for our offerings and tithes. Is that correct? And as we're doing that, as I was preparing the sermon last night, I was looking at the United Methodist website, and I saw this offertory prayer that I'd like to share with all of you. It's very appropriate. The offering that you made last week empowered ministry within our congregation and also empowered the responses that are with the needs of our community. It also helps support the work of ministries beyond the local church that empower the whole church to reach out to those who need to hear the good news of love and redemption. You have supported those who work on our behalf in mission fields here and abroad, on the other side of the world, and sometimes just right on the other side of town. One of those persons is General Board of Global Ministries missionary Clara Biswas, who works with street children in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. These poorest of the poor children spend much of their days picking through garbage dumps as they try to find ways to help their families cope with the poverty that traps them. Clara sees that they have opportunities for school, Sunday school, and the chance to hear and see the love of God made real in Jesus Christ. This ministry happens thanks to the generous support of United Methodists like you. I invite you once again to give generously as we worship God through the sharing of our gifts, tithes, and offerings. Ushers, please. Let us pray. We thank you, Father God, for the ability to give back to others, that they may see and hear your voice, your name, your glory, your love. And Father God, we ask that you would bless these gifts and the givers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, choir. That was grace indeed. Amazing in itself. Amazing grace. God's grace is always amazing. Amen. We're at prayer time now, and we invite all of you to lift up any special prayer requests that you might have in just a moment. And you may lift them up silently, or you may voice them aloud as we meditate. And at the same time, we'd like to invite you to lift up any praise reports that you might have. Anyone have praise reports? Anybody?
I don't know if all of you know, but our Jennifer delivered Julia this past Monday on Dad's birthday. She was 5 pounds, 3 ounces.
Amen.
She got discharged from Orange Park Medical Center, but then within a day there was something not quite right, so they admitted her and Jennifer back into Wolfson Children's Hospital. But they got to the bottom of it, and praise the Lord, she got discharged yesterday and everything is fine. She's a little bitty thing, and so. But anyway, we're just so proud of Jennifer and Jason, and so great to have Julia in our lives now.
Amen. Amen. That's quite a praise. Yes. Yes. And his name is Stephen Moore. Yes, Stephen Moore, who we've been asking for prayer, has recovered, or is somewhat still recovering, and we're thankful for that. Thank you for a great praise report. Was there someone else? Yes, Betty.
Mm. 4 weeks. He is now
too far.
Wow.
But they think he'll be able to go back to work at the hospital in 6 to 7 months. So it's a real praise.
Amen. Yes, that is a praise. Amen. Wonderful praise. Any others?
Thomas plays basketball with the Upward, which is a huge blessing, and it's over at First Baptist on Kingsley. And yesterday, there was a young man who lied about his age so he could play.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been very aggressive towards our players and to other teams' players. And he attempted to harm one of the moms yesterday at the game. And the older brother of one of Thomas's teammates went to go after him to protect her mother. The police did have to get called, but I have to say, you know, I was able to pray with the young man, the older brother of Thomas's teammate, and it really helped him a lot. But I have to say, the young man who has been just, who lied to begin with and then has been very aggressive, he needs a lot of prayer. And I don't know his name, but pray for, you know, just calm in his heart.
Amen. Amen.
Because it's sad.
Do we have a first name?
Maybe? I do not. I don't know his name at all.
Just pray for that young man.
Pray for the young man and the association. You know, it's a great organization, and I'm very pleased and blessed that Thomas is involved.
Amen.
One of my friends, they finally moved into like the new house. It was like his first time having a room and like a bed to himself.
Wow. Aww. Amen. That's a good praise.
And his sister is like expecting like any day now.
Oh wow. Amen.
I'd just like to praise God for just a blessed week this week we had. I was able to go with my mom and dad. Not very many people were as blessed to even have their mom and dads, but to be able to go off and
amen.
Some one-on-one time. We live close to one another, but the way life is, you just don't
rarely get a chance to enjoy it. Yeah.
Just commit and do it.
Amen. That's a beautiful praise. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you're both happy about it. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you for all those praise and prayer reports. And if we would now just bow your heads, close your eyes, and just meditate as we bring God into focus. Bring the Trinity into our lives right here and right now. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We invite your presence. And if there are others that might need to be lifted up, please do so at this time. Jerry Bailey. Esther and Joe Robinson. Father God, as we come before you in prayer, we ask that you would bless each and every one of us present here today, Lord, and bless those who are not here with us to celebrate your love. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to see clearly your will for our lives. Help us to be able to hear you when you call, to hear you when you ask. And Lord, we just pray that you would impart your mercies upon us in abundance. Help those who are in need of healing, Lord. Those who are in need of a merciful blessing that only you might know. Hear our prayers right now, Lord. We come before you with thanksgiving and praise. We acknowledge you as the sole source of our being. We confess that we are not always in accordance with your will, Lord, and we ask that you would make it so. Help us, Lord, to make that possible. And as we thank you for all those things, Lord, we again ask that you would help us to be able to save souls in a way that you would find appropriate. Help us, Lord, to be able to minister to others so that they too may receive your salvation. And as always, Lord, we ask that you would increase those things in us that bring us closer to you, that keep us near to you, and decrease those things that keep us apart from you, Lord. Hear all of these prayer requests, and thank you for the praise reports, Lord. Endeavor us, Lord, to do your will as we together repeat the prayer that you taught your disciples by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Page 333, if you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to page 333, we'll sing. I'm going to sing when the Spirit says sing.
I'm going to sing when the Spirit says sing.
I'm going to pray.
I'm going to pray when the Spirit says pray. I'm going to pray when the Spirit says pray. I'm going to pray when the Spirit says pray. I will obey the Spirit of the Lord.
I'm going to moan. I'm going to
moan.
I'm going to shout.
I'm going to shout when the Spirit says shout. I'm going to shout when the Spirit says shout. I'm going to shout when the Spirit says shout. And obey the Spirit of the Lord.
The scriptures for today are not what is listed in the bulletin. Ron, change that. Amen. So, it is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and if you're looking from your pew Bibles, it's on page 211. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. These are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Rhonda.
Amen.
So again, we are so blessed in this church to have lay servants who can do what we do. And that is to bring the word of God and to spread God's word, the gospel, the message of salvation at any given time. And so the way this happened, Pastor Esther called late yesterday afternoon, and she said something like, I'm sick. I said, and who might this be? This is Pastor Esther, and I don't know what to do because I'm probably not going to be there tomorrow. And I thought, okay. So I immediately volunteered to serve in this capacity, thinking that with that phone call, it's probably the Holy Spirit being led to do just that. Now, immediately, or shortly after I hung up and agreed to take this on, I thought, well, maybe it wasn't the Holy Spirit. So I called Bob Seymour. Hey, Bob, have you heard from the Holy Spirit? So Bob assured me that indeed he had not heard from the Holy Spirit, and that I was it. So I dropped it. Needless to say, just a short time later, I thought of two other folks that I know real well, but I didn't make the call. And I also thought, you know, it would have been absolutely wonderful if I had called Ron first, because I know he has one in his hip pocket. All of the lay servants in this church have a message in their hip pockets, so to speak, for occasions such as this. However, I wanted to keep this one in line with the lectionary, the United Methodist lectionary, which outlines the scriptures for the entire year, years in advance, as a matter of fact. And so I asked the pastor, what scripture did you use so that I can at least look at it and determine if I can write that sermon or not? And she said, she, poor thing, she was in such terrible shape. She said, I don't remember. And I'm like, okay, I got two choices. It's either John or Corinthians. Well, guess what? It's Corinthians. Amen. So the title of the sermon from Corinthians, as you heard Rhonda read the scripture, is Congratulations, You're Gifted. All right? We're going to go with that. And we'll start with a prayer. So please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, and in whose awesome name we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Gifted. You're all gifted. And in a few hours, many of us will be glued to the TV watching the NFL playoffs. Am I right? Probably. Or another of your favorite sports. And I have to say that each of those teams that are represented in the National Football League are just loaded with incredibly gifted players who can perform just spectacular athletic feats. At the same time, on this end of our reality, we have some amazingly talented people right here at Calvary, too. Not athletically, so to speak, But and I won't bother to call any names, but there are people here who are incredibly generous with sharing their time, with sharing their talents. Many of you often do, and it's very much appreciated. The talents of those athletes that I talked about is absolutely amazing. Their skills are the product of hours of dedicated time, dedicated training, relentless in their pursuit of perfection. They possess physical gifts that are unavailable to us commoners, so to speak, and we may attempt to emulate them, and we may even enjoy that, what I call that one moment in time when we are all that we ever wanted to be, but our efforts can never duplicate the efforts of a young lady whose initials are M.W., Michelle Wee. We can't be her. We can only emulate her. Or that young lady who is such a tennis powerhouse, Serena, I thought everybody knew that name. Absolutely. We can't be those people. But what we can be is people who display their talents in a very unique and special way, in our own way. The same thing about that said about those athletes could be said about people who display superior intellectual talent, intellectual skills, intellectual abilities. And we may not be able to, as I said earlier today, make the piano sound as if George is sitting there playing it. But again, we have that one moment in time sometimes. Can you play that chopsticks? Can you just... Anybody remember that? That one moment in time when we feel like this is such an accomplishment. Wow, I can play chopsticks. But there are many people besides that who enjoy solving problems that really baffle and frustrate others. Some of you are in that category, the solving problems category. I'm in the baffling, frustrated category. But those people remember information that you and I might tend to forget, and they draw comparisons that you and I might fail to comprehend. Very talented folks. And you know, often in the presence of people who are so gifted and talented, we can easily begin to feel inferior. Our skills might seem so insignificant in comparison. But if we take Paul's words to heart that you just heard from Rhonda, we don't need to be crippled by this false sense of humility. The Apostle Paul believed that everyone is gifted and blessed by God with spiritual abilities. Let's talk about that for a second. The church in Corinth, here's a little background, is a story about a church that's suffering from conflict and confusion. It was a community of believers that had a hodgepodge of folks coming in all the time because it was a seaport. It was an intellectual capital. It was a financial capital. It was seething with people of all types and of all different levels. A community of believers that was formed after they heard Paul teach in the synagogue. Now, feeling pressure from the Jewish leaders, Paul took a small band of converts. They met for prayer and study in the home of one of the rulers of that Jewish synagogue. And from some other letters that Paul has written, we learned that the church had several wealthy members as well, and a high-ranking city official, one who created the possibility for some power struggles within the group among those socially elite people. And not just those, but also among the members of the various socioeconomic levels as well. The conflict also included, wouldn't you know it, spiritual matters. Certain members believed that certain gifts were more important, or that they had more oomph, and that they were far superior to any other form of spirituality. They paraded these gifts before the ones who were gathered together, and they expected others to defer to them, to their authority and power in the decision-making process. So Paul wrote his letters in hopes of ending the conflict and establishing peace. He believed that the first step in resolving conflict is through open communication. He didn't want any of the believers to be ignorant about their spiritual gifts. And there you have spiritual gifts. Let's talk about what are spiritual gifts. Here's the definition by a Bible scholar. Some Bible scholars describe a spiritual gift as a special attribute given by the Holy Spirit to every member of the body of Christ according to God's grace for use within the context of the body. Got it? I almost got it. Let's see. We'll come back to that, but we'll come back to it in more simple terms, okay? That's quite a lengthy one. But by using the words special attribute in that definition, there's a distinction drawn between a spiritual gift and a talent. God has given every person certain natural talents. All of us can make lines and draw circles on a piece of paper, but not all of us have the talent to actually draw a picture, a nice picture, something that's worthwhile, I'll put it that way. I know I certainly can't. I'm drawing challenged. And I talked about the God-given talents of George, God-given talents of Andy. We don't all have that. I could go over, pick up Andy's guitar, and hit one string at a time. Oh, yeah, that's and then strum the whole thing. And that's the extent of my talent on a guitar. But that's my one moment in time, like, yeah, that's sweet. Sweet chords. But while these talents are God-given, they are not spiritual gifts. The difference lies in, and get this part, the difference lies in their purpose. A spiritual gift has a dedicated purpose. The Apostle Paul tells us that the purpose of spiritual gifts is for the common good. God can give anyone a natural talent to do a number of different things. But God gives spiritual gifts for ministry. And their purpose is to build the body of Christ. I think it's in verse 7 or somewhere around there. So what are spiritual gifts? The non-Bible scholar definition is this. They are special abilities given by God for the common good. Very plain, very simple. Special abilities given by God for the common good, meaning for the church. So, you might ask, does every Christian have a gift? And how do I know if I have a gift? How would I recognize my gift? Many of you exhibit your gifts on a daily basis, whether you know it or not. Most of you are aware of your gifts. But the Apostle Paul tells us in verse 7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I just told you that. Notice the Apostle's description of now to each one. You are not exempt. No one is exempt from receiving God's special gift. God has given each and every one of us a spiritual gift. And Paul outlines in this scripture nine of them in this particular chapter, but he also includes other lists in the book of Ephesians, also over in Romans, and a few references to other special abilities that are beyond our natural talents and learned skills. You see, spiritual gifts are blessings. They are examples, rather, of many blessings bestowed upon us at conversion. It's automatic. God just gifts us with these things. No one is exempt. God has dispensed his gifts to each of you through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, whether you know it or not. And denying that God has given you a spiritual gift is a form of false humility. You might say, no, I don't have a gift. Don't put me on the list. Don't ask me to do anything. That's a sign of false humility, because, in fact, you are gifted with something. It's just a matter of discovering what that thing is. So now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. How do you discover your spiritual gifts? How? There's no one method of discovering our gifts, but there are a few common steps to discovering God's will and God's blessing. Any time we venture into the spiritual life, and this is the first step, it should always begin with prayer. Amen? Communicating with God should never become what we call a perfunctory, easy for me to say, a ritual, put it that way. It shouldn't just be a rote memory thing. Okay, it's time for me to pray. Prayer should be a central part of our existence. We need to ask that God would guide us in our exploration of the spiritual life and help us to discover our gifts. Second step is to study the Scriptures. Pray, study. Just as a surgeon learns the names and uses of her surgical instruments before she jumps in there and starts operating, just as a mechanic needs to learn the names and the uses of the tools that he uses before working on a car, a believer must know the names and the definitions of the spiritual gifts. And although Paul listed several of them, he did not necessarily define them. Through the teaching of Paul, the gifts are presented, and through the lives of the faithful believers, we learn how these gifts are used. So we talked about praying, about studying, and the third step in discovering our spiritual gifts is the most difficult, that being experiment. You got to get into it. You got to know that this is either right or just it doesn't work for me or whatever. We will never know if we have the gift of evangelism if we don't share our faith with someone else. We'll never know if we have the gift of mercy unless we visit someone who's sad or someone who needs a loving hug or a kind word. We'll never know if we have the gift of teaching unless we get into the classroom. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a classroom. It can be a study setting. It can be a Sunday school room. It can be a number of things. Unless we are willing to experiment, however, to step out on faith, we may never allow God to work through us and manifest the gifts that the Spirit has given us. Finally, along with prayer, study, and experimenting, we should seek confirmation both from others and from ourselves. Ask the Lord, is this what my gift is? And if so, how can I use it? How am I supposed to use this? Amen? So, here's another final question. Why should we discover our spiritual gifts? Why? And that is easy. It's an obligation and a blessing. God has given us gifts for building others in faith. By not using our gifts, we're squandering God's resources. So I say again, we have an obligation as faithful disciples to use every available resource that God offers to us on a daily basis. And it may not be to the extent each and every day, but on a daily basis, we should learn to use those gifts in some manner. We receive a tremendous blessing when we use our gifts. And that's why the question, what is my spiritual gift? That's why that question is so very important. Unless you know the answer, you'll never be 100% effective in your service for Jesus Christ. You might spend your whole life doing something for which you were not gifted by God, and so be frustrated or ineffective. It's sort of like the description, the example I used earlier. It's sort of like taking one of those big, gigantic NFL linemen down in the pits and say, hey, you're playing wide out. You're playing receiver. You're going to run out for a pass. Huh? That big old boy is not going to make it very far. It better be a quick slant and that's it. But he can't run. I mean, his hands are like bricks. That's not to say we're that way. However, we have to know that that's the case for many people. In some way, wait a minute, let me back up for a second. We know that big boy in the middle of the line, that NFL tackle, guard, whatever, he makes a living doing what? Knocking people on their buttocks. That's what he does. That's his talent. It's not a spiritual gift. It's just a talent. And so many of us are using our special talent as opposed to our special gift, and we need to find out what that special gift is. I mean, and some people, if I were to ask them to go door to door out here in the community, they would immediately throw up. No, I can't do that. Walk door to door. No way. Not going to do it. I mean, that's not their gift. They're not gifted in evangelism. And there are some people who, you ask them about finances, you ask them about administration, they make some of us look silly because they know how to do that. That's their gift. And there are others who could never get up and teach a class, as I mentioned, but they know how to lead a small group. They have the gift of pastoring. There are still others who work behind the scenes, caring for others, caring for the sick, bringing over meals, comforting those in sorrow. They have the gift of mercy. But don't ask them to speak in public, okay? That's not going to happen. My whole point is we all have different talents and different spiritual gifts. We need to discover what they are and use them accordingly. So take the time to discover your spiritual gift. You can begin today by carrying out these four steps. Maybe five. I think I'll add one. Pray specifically for God to reveal your gift. Ask mature Christians who know you what strengths they see in you. Look for open doors of opportunities to try different areas. Feel free. Be explorative, so to speak. And then follow the desires of your heart. Amen? That's really important. The one I left out was studying. But we already know that. And that's a part of why we are here today. This is a form of studying. This is sharing. This is communicating. And everyone who really wants to can do something to strengthen the work of the church. Even those who are homebound or nursing home Christians can maintain a ministry. Even though they are not able to attend church, they can pray faithfully. They can, and some even as a part of the church's prayer ministry. We know that they take part in that prayer ministry. Some may have a ministry of encouragement through cards or through making calls. And still others are determined to be an encourager to all who visit them. Can you imagine that? They turn it right around. You go to visit them, and they begin to encourage you. And that's a wonderful thing. Now, you can make it your business to even do things as simple as folding bulletins every week in the church office. You know, we don't have a church secretary. Our office administrator is tasked to do all those little things that a secretary might normally do. You can volunteer to do those things. You can help to prepare communion on Sunday mornings. Every Sunday morning we have communion at 8:15. But regardless of your limitations on time, your limitations on strength, money, whatever the resource is, you could make this church stronger because of your gifts. So, congratulations. You're gifted. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
If you'd stand and turn to page 714, we'll sing, I Know Whom I Have Believed. Fourth verse.
As we go forth from this place this morning, keep in mind your spiritual gifts. Use them in accordance with God's will. And now hear the benediction. Lord, we just ask that you would bless each and every person here. Help us, Lord, to do your will and to use those God-given talents. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go forth and serve the Lord.